all the chief priests and religious scholars of the people, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem of Judea, they informed him, here is what the prophet has written. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are no means least among the leaders of Judah, since from you will come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Herod called the astrologers aside and found out from them the exact time of the star's appearance. Then he sent them to Bethlehem after having instructed them, go and get detailed information about the child. When you have found him, report back to me so that I may go and offer homage too. After their audience with the ruler, they sent out. The star, which they had observed at its rising, went ahead of them until it came to a standstill over the place where the child lay. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and upon entering the house, found the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and paid homage. Then they opened their coffers and presented the child with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they went back to their own country by another route. After the astrologers had left, the angel of God suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph with the command, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you otherwise. Herod is searching for the child to destroy him. Joseph got up, awakened Jesus and Mary, and they left that night for Egypt. They stayed there until the death of Herod to fulfill what God had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my own. Herod became furious when he realized that the astrologers had outwitted him. He gave orders to kill all male children that were 2 years old and younger living in and around Bethlehem. The age of the children was based on the date Herod had learned from the astrologers. This is a story from our Holy Scriptures. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Ryan. The story of the wise men are astrologers, as they're rightly called, readers of the sky or the stars, is a fascinating one. I've known it since I was young, and still today it reveals something new to me each time I read it, and that was no different this week. So think about this story for a minute. The story recounts wise men, or we don't know whether they were men or whatever, but astrologers, observing the rising of a star approximately 2 years prior to them arriving in Bethlehem to see Jesus. The rising of a star approximately 2 years prior to them arriving. We know this because of the story of the slaying of the infants by Herod, who commanded that boys 2 years or old and younger be killed by the soldiers, not only in Bethlehem but surrounding Bethlehem. Herod cast a wide net. 2 years. Now, suppose even Herod gave a 6-month margin of safety, so he captured all of these boys. That means that these astrologers still followed a star for 18 months or 1.5 years. Meaning that they started out on their journey long, long before the Annunciation. The announcement to Mary that she was going to become pregnant. The story itself tells us that Mary could not have been pregnant at all or even knew that she was going to be pregnant before these astrologers set out on the journey. The baby hadn't even been conceived yet and wouldn't be for many months to come. Now, on the part of the astrologers, that's faith. Or at least curiosity and a sense of adventure at the very least. They were moving, following that star, toward who knows what, simply based on the belief that they'd find something. that they wanted or needed. And that, to me, strikes me as what we do every new year. That hope that this year we are going to find something or offer something that we or the world needs or longs for. That things will improve or change for the better. And that we can put unwanted stuff from the past behind us. Now, that's usually our hope and our desire, very rarely the reality. Hope is that for which we long, which is not yet. It's a sense of expectation without any guarantees. And it's actually taking the action that is necessary to make what we hope for a reality. Hope is not magic. It requires us doing something. Like the astrologers, they set aside life as they knew it to travel for years. If it took them a year and a half or 2 years to get there, it was going to take them that to get back. To go for years seeking something that they could never be sure of. And this is a big part of our human journey. Each year, each decade, leaving what we already have and know to seek something that we desire, that we want. It's what keeps us moving forward and optimistic, believing that things can change, things can improve. And it's what makes us set our resolve to sacrifice and make our work worthwhile. It's what wise people do. What is the thing that we need in our lives this year? Instead of looking at it as a resolution, though, because we know resolutions last about as long as the first sunset on New Year's Day, I want to approach moving into this new year a little differently. I want to ask you what is already new in your life. What is already new as we move forward? By new, I mean something unexpected that has happened in your life, already happened, and has already altered your life in some significant way in this past while, maybe in this past year or two. What has been so significant has taken place in your life that has already changed you in some significant or momentous way, and you have to find your way back to something new. Here's some examples. Perhaps this year you have lost a loved one, someone who has been really important to you in your life, and that has changed the balance of your life. Or your relationship status has changed in regard to a significant partner or relationship. Maybe you've had to move away from your community and this one doesn't feel like home, the new one you're in. Maybe like many of us, you are aging and have begun to realize that you can no longer do the things that you used to do and you're having a hard time dealing with that. Perhaps even having to move because of it. Or for many people in this last year or two, you've become more stressed and anxious due to things that are happening in the world or in your families, and you're finding it difficult. You retired or started a new job, or you experienced the loss of a dream or have had to let go of certain expectations and you're finding it very difficult. Or you were diagnosed with a serious illness or a condition in your life you're having to deal with. Perhaps your mental health deteriorated or your family dynamics changed or you became, I would say, a parent, but that's not often the case in this congregation, but you became a grandparent and your life has changed because of that. Or your financial situation has become more precarious or has improved. Or perhaps for some of us, your faith has taken a hit this year. Your theology is changing and you don't know where to land yet. These are all things that some of us can relate to at some level, most of which happen to us at some point in our lives. Many of these things will happen. This is the fabric of our lives. We find our way through it, though, to a new normal, only to have something else happen that we'll have to deal with again. This is how life works. This is how life has always worked. And this is the what's new in our lives as we go into the new year. The things that have thrown us into some state of disequilibrium and that require us to change and find a new way forward. The challenge isn't that they happen. We know they happen, and we know they will happen in our lives. The challenge is how we learn to deal with them. How we become grounded and so secure in our lives that when life challenges us, we actually can find a way back to strength. Some people, through intention and experience and reflection, seem to deal with things with grace and acceptance, openness and compassion for themselves and for others. And others become bitter and spiteful, angry, mistrustful, and they tend to blame others for the things that have happened in their lives. And I'm not going to say they're mutually exclusive. They both can happen to us. We can start out angry and mistrustful and hopeless, and we can move into a better place of grace and love and compassion. There are, of course, stages of healing. Yet there are ways to deal with trauma and challenges that we experience that will help us, just help us to lean more in one direction than the other. The astrologers who followed the star set out to find what they desired, wanted, needed, with the hope of finding really something good and worthy, because that's who they were. Something that would increase their wisdom and faith. Something that would enhance their lives. That's why they set out on this journey. And the story doesn't tell us whether they found what they needed or wanted, just that they followed this star that led them to Jesus. And there, when they got there, they kneeled and they worshiped and they offered the gifts they had brought with them. However, along the way, what they had also encountered through Herod was evil and fear and anger and jealousy, which tried to draw them into its net, to entice them to do his bidding, to do evil, to succumb to his fears and perhaps even their own fears. It wasn't a smooth journey to Bethlehem. It's never clear what path we are going to take when something happens in our lives. For evil, greed, and fear are very seductive, and they're very seductive these days. Many people are drawn into them. Just look around you at the world and its leaders today. A day doesn't go by when we don't shake our heads and go, "What's going on?" People generally do not employ reason as their first response to these things. We react based on our feelings. And so the question is, can we rise above the Herods, the challenges, the fear, and remain, even despite what's going on in our lives and the world, grounded in love and openness and goodness? Can we keep our hearts open, even as fear threatens to close them down? Difficulties threaten us. That depends. Because staying open and grounded and loving and compassionate is often the harder of the two paths. So what do we have to do to become stronger and healthier and able to withstand the inevitable challenges that come into our lives and into the world? Here's what we do. We have to find another way home. Like the astrologers. When they found the place where the star had brought them, this child Jesus and his family, they realized that they couldn't go home the same way. They couldn't go back through to meet with Herod and see his fear and his jealousy and his rage. They couldn't go back that way. They had to go home another way. We do too. We can continue to do things the way the world tells us to do them and the way we've always coped with life, which may or may not serve the greater good this year, or we can find another way home. And by home, I mean back to our best and wisest and healthiest selves. That in us which is grounded and whole and healthy and loving within ourselves. The place where we actually can find God. It is a place of wisdom and stability and strength that is able to withstand with grace all that life gives us, either good or bad. This is the home we all desire. The astrologers didn't stay with Jesus to continue to worship him, to continue to learn for him and grow and watch him grow, or even to teach him. After they encountered him, they went home, their own home. The only true home we'll ever find is the home within us, because it goes with us wherever we go. This year, somebody asked me, where do you feel most at home? I've been in Alberta longer than I lived in Ontario. Where do you feel at home? And that the honest answer is, there is no place that feels like home to me, no external place. I can't say I've ever felt at home in any one place. The only time I ever feel at home is when I feel good in myself, grounded in myself. Home is the container that we are, that holds everything else in our lives. Home is the safe, loving, compassionate place within that connects us to ourselves and connects us to others and to God and to the world. It is only discovered when we remain deeply present to our own lives. It's the place in us that doesn't change, ever. And when we can access, find that place home and access this God space within, everything else in our lives can change. Anything can change. And we can still remain strong and whole and grounded in God, in life, in light. Because we are not what happens to us. And we are not our feelings or our thoughts or our beliefs, because those things always change. We are not lost or broken or bad, ever. Because there is a place in us that goes deeper than all of these things, all of the things that we do or have done to us. There is a deeper place in us, a place that is always connected to God, to life, to love. And this is the actual home that we seek. After encountering Jesus, this is what the astrologers went home to. They went home another way. If we can come home to this place this year, we will have followed the star and have come to a new place in our lives, only to discover that it is not only what we have always needed, wanted, or desired, it's always been there. We may need to find a new place to get there, a new way to get there. But I guarantee you it is a journey worth taking. Let's just take a few moments for reflection.